Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Why don't you hug the neck or slap the back of somebody right next to you. Take a minute and greet your neighbors. Thank you for doing that. A few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this, write your name down, give us any contact information you choose, and then check the appropriate boxes, that would help us just collect a little bit of information about who was in worship today. We do ask you send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. Members, this is your opportunity to find out the name of a guest that may be sitting on the pew with you, and you can introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once it gets back to that very first person who filled it out this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that for us. Reminder about a few things today. We are having children's time, so that will be right after the first hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. I'm going to meet all the kids right down here and for just a few moments. Several things listed there in your bulletins, including opportunities for the week and the calendar of events that you'll see there on the back. We do want to make a note of all the lilies that you see before you. We appreciate all those who have provided these lilies. We do ask, this is the day to pick them up, so if you purchased a lily, you feel free to get those as you leave the service today. A couple of announcements about next weekend. We want to draw your attention to, number one, our spring fling. That usually happens on Sunday afternoons around the 1st of May. We're making an adjustment this year. Change. Yes, I know. Change. It's going to be next Saturday from 4 until 7. Everything will be the same. The inflatable games, the food, all that kind of stuff from 4 until 7, but next Saturday instead of Sunday. And we want you to make note of that. There is a sign-up sheet as you leave the main entrance. There's a place to sign up for hot dog buns and desserts and chips. And it'll be a hot dog dinner. We need your help to provide those other things. So if you could sign up to help us out with that, that would be very, very helpful. There is going to be one thing that's new this year. I have heard rumors of a dunking booth. And I know one of your ministerial staff that will be in the dunking booth. I'm sure other members of the ministerial staff will be in the dunking booth because it's all for missions. We're raising money for missions. A few years ago, we did the pie in the face. This year, we're doing the dunking booth. So if for no other reason, just for the entertainment value, you want to be here next Saturday from 4 until 7. We're looking forward to spring fling. Then next Sunday morning, we have another special occasion to celebrate. Our education building has been completely renovated, and we are so thankful to God for all that He has done to make that happen. Our preschool area, our children's area, and the adult area on the basement level, they have all are completely new. And we're going to have a celebration for that next Sunday morning. And we'll have a time during both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service. But from 9:45 to 10:45, there will be breakfast in Smith Hall, a short program, and then we're going to have an open house and let everyone kind of see the new area. And we're very excited about this, and we hope that you will invite your neighbors and your friends to be a part of Spring Fling as well as the renovation celebration, which happens next Sunday morning during the normal Sunday school hour. Let me see. Any other announcements? Did I get them all? Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pad, and we certainly appreciate you you doing that for us. We would like to recognize you. If you're a guest with us, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers, they're coming down the aisles now. They will find you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside the packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story, the history of College Park. So we are so blessed by your presence this day especially. Thank you for coming this morning. This is the day that defines who we are. There is no other Sunday that better reminds you and I why we exist as Christians. Jesus was different than all others who came down through history. He is God, the God-man, who took our punishment and our sin on Good Friday, and then on Sunday morning, he conquered death in the grave. This gives us a reason to shout, a reason to celebrate, and a reason to worship. Let's do just that. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. You will find printed in your bulletin a call to worship, a responsive call to worship. I invite you to read the dark print aloud after I read the light print. This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. Once we were no people. Now we are God's people.
Hallelujah.
Christ is our peace, the indestructible peace we now share with each other.
Hallelujah.
Pray with me. Hallelujah. We worship you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who lived on this earth, the one who lived a perfect life, who faced every trial, every temptation. He went to a death on the cross, suffering unimaginable pain and torture. And he did it for us. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life and his death and his resurrection that gives us hope, that gives us a reason to worship this day and every day. May your Spirit be in this place. Hear us as we worship. See us as we worship. May everything done in this place at this time be done to glorify your name and your name alone. For it's in Jesus, the risen Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Oh. heard you. Y'all come sit right here. Right here in front of me. Not on the steps. Right down here. Right. I know. We're normally on the steps. That's all right. We'll wait till everybody gets here. Oh, y'all look so nice this morning. Just like every Sunday. Come on down. All right. We'll wait. Come on. I am so glad to see y'all this morning. Because guess what? Easter what? Candy? What do you mean? Am I predictable? Happy Easter. And that means, and doesn't Easter mean candy? Yeah. Okay. But you're going to have to work for it. All right. You're going to have to work for it. All right. So here's the thing. Here's a question. Some of you were in Sunday school this morning, right? Okay. Here. I know exactly what you did. Tell me. All right. You did 100 jumping jacks in Sunday school, right? Right? Okay. You did 1,000 push-ups, right?
No.
What? You didn't? No? What? Sam, what did you do in Sunday school this morning, Sam? You talked about Jesus' resurrection. Well, I thought you did jumping jacks and sit-ups. How would I know that? Well, he's going to find out. He's not going to get any candy. All right. But how are you supposed to know what happened in Sunday school? Only the people that were there, right? Well, here's an interesting thing. How do you and I know that Jesus was not there in the grave? How do we know? How do we know? Sam? The Bible says so. How do we know? Caleb, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus was not in the grave? How do we know? Because he rose from the dead. But how do we know? Did you hear what the verses that I read just a minute ago? Who came to the grave? Does anybody remember? Who came to the grave? The two Marys. That's exactly right. And what did they do? They went and told somebody, right? There were people that saw Jesus. Do you want candy? Okay, don't touch it. Okay, all right. There were people that told that Jesus was no longer in the grave. That's how we know. Do you think it's important that they told that story? Why? Because every one of us are here because those people told the story that Jesus is alive. That's pretty important, isn't it? The reason that we come together on Sundays is because somebody 2,000 years ago told the story that Jesus is alive. Mary, they went to the grave. They looked in. He wasn't there. What did they do? Did they keep it a secret? They went and they told. But here's the thing. Here's something really important. God also tells us that you and I are supposed to do the exact same thing. We're supposed to do the exact same thing. To go and what? Tell. So, this morning, that's what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about. I'm going to do a little experiment, all right? I want you, between now and the time you see me at the end of the service, I want you to tell one person that Jesus is alive, okay? I don't care who it is, except for the people in this group. Or you got to tell an adult or a youth. I want you to tell them, all right? And then, if you want some candy, you have to bring that person to me, and they have to tell me. All right, well, we'll do the candy after. They have to tell me that you said it, okay? Because guess what? That's practice, because what I really want you to do is when you go to school or when you go to play, I want you to tell what? That Jesus is alive. Can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? Let's pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for this time that we have gotten together to worship you and to praise you, to sing and to thank you that Jesus is alive. We're thankful for the two Marys so long ago who were the first eyewitnesses, the first ones who were there and saw what happened and didn't keep it a secret. They told somebody. And those people told more people, and those people told more people. Help us to do the very same thing. Because that news is too good to keep a secret. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Testament and the book of Daniel. From Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. As the prophet describes the promise of the Son of God long before the birth of Jesus. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And from the New Testament in the book of Acts, from Acts 10, beginning at verse 34, as we hear the Apostle Peter talking about the fulfillment of that promise. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning, as a people gathered in your name, in your house, we have such great joy in our hearts. Lord, we feel joy because on this day we recognize and remember the ultimate gift and the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us by sending your Son so that we may be redeemed and that we may be made whole. Lord, we are witnesses to all that you have done, to all that you have done in our lives as imperfect people who have sinned, who have been separated from you, who have made mistakes, but who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, a gift that we receive and that makes all the difference in our lives, even though we did absolutely nothing to deserve it. Lord, we are witnesses of the joy that continues to be shared every day in this world because the love of Jesus Christ blessed this earth many years ago. Lord, we feel joy for seeing these precious children here and knowing that these young people know Jesus as their friend, and they know and understand that Jesus loves each one of them. Lord, we feel joy for those who are the oldest among us, who, after living many years and experiencing many things, can clearly see your hand at work, can clearly see the difference that Jesus has made in their lives, on the good days and in the bad days. Jesus was present all along the journey. And at this stage in their lives, They are not defined, nor are any of us defined by our mistakes or our sins or our shortcomings or of anything of this world, but we are defined by you. And we are defined by Jesus Christ, the ultimate measure, the ultimate criteria by which ultimate judgment will take place and the gift of heaven will be given. Lord, we are witnesses to miracles every day as hearts are changed. We are witnesses to the ultimate love and grace and mercy and redemption through Jesus Christ that makes our lives so valuable and so worthwhile, even when we don't feel very valuable and even when we feel like we've fallen far short of the standard that you have shown us. Lord, we are witnesses. We have joy in our hearts and we come to you in thanksgiving and worship this morning as a people that believe in Jesus Christ, a people that are humbled by the gift that you gave us, and a people that want to say thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for redeeming us. And thank you for allowing us to worship you on Easter Sunday morning. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
In the 3 years that I've been here at College Park, one of the ministries that has been an inspiration to me is the College Parkers. And for those of you who don't know who the College Parkers are, they're a group of young at heart people who were age 55 and over. And it's been a joy to be a part of that group over the last 3 years. Being a member of that group has helped me understand why College Park is such a wonderful church. When I look at these people, I see basically the foundation of this church. People who have a vision, people who have provided leadership, they've given talents, they've given themselves, they've taught people. They've just been a part of making College Park what it is today. And that's true of the history, that's true of the present day, and that'll continue to be true as we move into the future. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day. Lord, it's such a joy to be in your house to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we gather here, we feel unworthy. We know there's nothing that we could do to deserve what you've done for us. But Lord, we thank you for that love that was so great that you were willing to give your only Son so that we could have salvation from our sins. And Lord, we know that you've blessed us in so many ways in our lives. You've blessed us with this church, with these facilities. And Lord, you've blessed us with many things that we have. And we pray that as the offerings are taken today and we return back to you a portion of that which you have given to us, it will be blessed and it will be used in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to need you to do me a little favor. At the end of the service, I'm going to have to have all of you come with me to Jeff as witnesses so I can get my Easter egg. I told you that Jesus is alive, and if you will follow my example, we'll be okay here. You can turn to the person beside you, see if it works for you. Oh, my goodness. We've had a wonderful Easter resurrection day. I had capacity crowd, I think, at Smith Hall this morning for our 9 o'clock service. Experienced good fellowship, good worship there, as we have already this morning. The Easter story never gets old, does it? We can read it and read it and read it. And sometimes the hardest thing about interpreting a New Testament text like the Easter story is that we have bits and pieces of other texts that are kind of rolling around in the back of our heads. So we look at the one like in Matthew this morning, and we hear echoes of the other ones that we've heard, and in our minds we just blend them all together, right? I mean, we kind of hear all the story and all the bits and pieces pulled from all the Gospels. But this morning I need you to do me a favor. On this Easter morning, I want us to listen just to Matthew. Just to Matthew's account. And let's try to experience that first Easter as he pictured it and imagine ourselves at the scene as he describes it. Let's do that. Jeff's already read it, but I'm going to reread what he read. And I want you to hear it just through his eyes. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The Sabbath, the Old Testament Sabbath, has been passed. God's holy day is the seventh day of the week, and it goes from Friday sundown until Saturday sundown. And that had already passed. The story we read this morning is occurring on the first day of the week. The first day of the week we call Sunday. The two women are up early. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't unusual for them to be up early. Maybe it was. Maybe given the circumstances of the week, they just couldn't sleep. You know, grief can do that to you. It can make you restless. It can make you to the point where you can't think, you can't sleep, you can't get in. You wish you could sleep and make things go away, but you can't. Sometimes you just can't. So they're up maybe, and whatever their reasons for being up early, we know from Matthew's account that they went out of town to see the tomb. They went to see the tomb. Now, I'm going to break my own rule. You know, I ask us not to blend all these things. But let me pull a couple of things in from the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke in terms of background material. Mark and Luke say that they went because Jesus died so close to the start of the Sabbath that his body could not be properly washed and anointed. So they went, going back to do what Jews normally did to give their loved ones an honorable burial. But Matthew just says to see the tomb. And I want us to imagine it that way this morning. You see, some of you know exactly what that word means, that phrase means, to see the tomb, to see the grave. If you've lost someone who is very dear to you, you know what that means. Maybe the two Marys went to the grave, to the tomb, to exchange some stories. Kind of talk about, hey, you remember the time when we were traveling and Jesus did this and Jesus did that? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Maybe they went there to pray. To pray that somehow all of this would make sense and God would make something good come out of it. Maybe they went there to talk to their departed loved one. I mean, we've all done that, I think, at some point. It's like you turn around to say something to someone, and then you realize that they're no longer here with us. They're in the presence of the Lord. They're no longer here. So instead, we maybe go to the grave or just talk to them like they're with us. Because in a real sense, they still are. Or maybe they just went to be quiet. Just for the peace, just being there, to be quiet. Well, that part didn't work out for them. The quiet part didn't work because the mourning literally erupted. Verses 2 through 4 are only recorded in Matthew. The earth shakes. The angel comes out of heaven right in front of their eyes. It is so frightening that these tough trained temple soldiers standing guard over the tomb faint dead away. Bible says they became like dead men. The angel rolls back the stone while the women watch, and then he just has a seat on it. Looks at him. Now, we know it's Easter. We know it's a good ending, right? But can you imagine being there the first time around? Can you imagine what was going on in these women's mind? I mean, think about it. We started on Ash Wednesday. We have been preparing for today. We started on Ash Wednesday. We've been going through services in the Lenten season. And all of us in preparation, last Sunday, Palm Sunday, in the whole Holy Week services, we wanted to get to this point where we could hear the angels say, he's risen. He's not here. He's been raised, to where we can cheer and applaud and celebrate and feel good about it. But think about the women for just a moment. As they sit there with the angel, you know, What were these women feeling? What were they thinking at this point? We know that the armed guards have collapsed out of fear. What keeps these women on their feet and conscious? We laughed in the early service saying, well, it's because the guards were men and, hey, we're women. You know, we're just stronger. But, you know, that's simplistic. But what keeps them on their feet? Is it that they have become so numb to grief that they're on autopilot You know, literally the world is just shaking all around them and has been all week long. So therefore, they're just kind of on autopilot. If that is the case, we can't throw stones at them. You know, many of you have been there. When sadness, when grief just sucks the color from the world and leaves everything in a dark place. Where when you can't hear the birds sing anymore, where you can't smell the roses, and you have absolutely, when people ask, what is it that will cheer you up? You have no idea what it is that will make you smile again. See, grief can do that, but so can stress. Too much stress, too little sleep, job loss, money pressures, ongoing conflicts with your spouse, betrayals by close friends. You see, life's hard edges can cut you up bit by bit, or it can clobber you all at once and knock you senseless. Many of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you have been there. Maybe most of us have been there at some point, and there's probably many of you that are right there right now, just feeling knocked senseless. And meanwhile, the earth rumbles, the angel descends, the guards collapse, and the women wait. And then, the voice of the angel, stop being afraid. Don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. I know that you're looking for Jesus, the crucified, but he isn't here because he was raised just as he said. He invites them to look in the tomb to see that Jesus' body is missing. And the text, really, interestingly enough, the text doesn't say whether they did that. The next thing you hear, they're off running. The text doesn't say whether they did it. Interesting thing about Matthew. In Matthew's gospel, when an angel tells somebody to do something, they do it. And who can blame them, right? You know, the angel rolls back a stone and says, hey, you may want to come check it out. I'm there. I mean, I'm going to go do what the angel says, what he suggests. But the text doesn't say that for sure. We suspect they probably did. Maybe they confirmed that part of the angel's story, that Jesus' body was no longer there. But the he is raised part, he is raised. They really can't confirm that. They know he wasn't there, but they don't know what happened. Matthew's gospel even points out that there are possible other explanations for it. Again, the angel said, he has been raised from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you'll see him there. They can't touch or feel anything in that tomb that will absolutely prove that what the angel says is true. So what do they do? What should they do? What will they do? You know, I wouldn't have blamed them if at that point they just sat down and cried. And I just overwhelmed. Think about the week that they've been through. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we came in, celebrated. The children came down. I mean, we're celebrating. It is a good time to worship. Hosannas, loud hosannas. We do all that. They did that. The ladies walking in Jerusalem, they were probably with Jesus. They had a great beginning of the week. And from there, the week really started to tank. By Thursday, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before that, he had been sharing a meal with the disciples, and he said, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be turned over. One of you is going to betray me. Others of you are going to deny me, and you're all going to spread like scared children. That's on Thursday night, and by Friday night, he was hanging on a cross. And in their minds, they've got to think, how much more can we take? Maybe the shock of all of that could have stunned them. I mean, it could just absolutely have stunned them. But instead, Scripture tells us they turn around and they hurry back to Jerusalem to do what the angel commanded. Go, tell his disciples just what I've told you. They leave. They run with fear and great joy to tell his disciples. So Matthew, as he tells it, I think there's two resurrection stories here. The first one, the one that we celebrate this time of the year, every year, give or take a month. What's up with that? But yeah, we'll leave that for the astronomers. But we celebrate this time of year one resurrection. That's the one that happens off camera. That's the one that happens off the stage. There is no description of the actual moment when Jesus was raised. We don't know. His resurrection moment, when he was raised, goes unrecorded. And so we're left to wonder when it happened. When did it happen? Was it during the earthquake? Was it just at the point where the angel rolled back the stone? Interesting thought there, and you know, and I've said it before, but people say, well, they rolled back the stone, God rolled back the stone so Jesus could get out. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the Son of God? I can't imagine him knocking on the stone. Could you let me out? I've risen from the dead, but I need a little help with this stone. I'm not seeing that. See, the stone was rolled away by the angel so we could see in. We could see that he's risen. So did it happen right at the point where they rolled back the stone? Did it happen at some point earlier before the women arrived? We don't know. Jesus' resurrection isn't described. It's simply reported. Instead, Matthew focuses in on the resurrection that happened in these two women. How their faith, how their life is restored, how it's resurrected. They go that morning to see the tomb, probably emotionally, spiritually broken. But then God's messenger challenges them to lay aside their fear, to lay aside their grief, to lay aside their sense of loss, anything that paralyzes them, lay it aside. And he challenges them, instead, go and spread the earth-shaking news that Jesus is alive. Jesus has been raised just as he said, and they do it. They turn and they, in fear and joy, because grief takes time after all, and they turn and they run, and as they go, they meet Jesus. Our translation says, greetings. Another translation said, Jesus said, good morning. Can you imagine running down the road and running into Jesus and say, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Happy Easter. Wow. And he tells them once again to let go of their fear and to tell the good news to all those who will hear it. Go tell the good news. So Matthew's message, I think, is to come with your fears, come with your griefs, all the things that make your world gray, bring all of those. Come on to the tomb. Your hurts are not imaginary, and we're not going to tell you that they are. But we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we believe that God will raise you too if you will just open yourself to God's presence. That's the good news, brothers and sisters. That is the Easter message. Jesus is alive. Go tell. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we're excited because this is the day that we've been waiting for weeks. Ever since Christmas, ever since Advent, we've been leading here naturally. Because as Jesus lived, he showed us how to live. And during the Holy Week, as Jesus died, he showed us that we have victory over death. Because he lives, we too will live. God, that is the Easter message. That is the resurrection glory. God, we pray that we would make that a part of who we are as well as what we tell. God, we know that he was raised for us and that he sits at your side. He intercedes on our behalf. And we know that one day he's coming back. It's a glorious day, Father, and we're eagerly awaiting it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed, Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. The hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree. And took the nails for me. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Could not hold Him, the grave could not keep Him from rising again. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
If you're here this morning, and you would like to know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, this is your morning. I'll be here in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but boy, I'm not doing too well in that go and tell part. You know, I'm not being a very good witness, and I want you to pray for me. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you. About whatever it is that you're struggling with, be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you say, well, I've been meaning to join College Park in an official capacity, just haven't got around to it, this may be the day for it. So we receive members in a lot of ways. We'll be glad to talk with you about that if you'd like to. But whatever your decision is, invite you to make that as we stand and sing. hope you'll take an opportunity after the benediction and the response to greet one another. Maybe meet people around you that you haven't had, never met. All right? It's a good time to introduce yourself. And I hope you have a blessed week. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day and the celebration of your Son, victory over death. Father, help us to know what that means in our own lives, to live it out daily, and to tell others about it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.